Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Big Bend Sentinel for Thursday, August 11th, 2022. Brewster County Sheriff seeking Alpine man wanted for harboring runaway girl. By Allegra Hobbs, A-L-L-E-G-R-A, at BigBendSentinel.com. Brewster County. The Brewster County Sheriff's Office is asking for the public's help in tracking down a man who has disappeared with a runaway teenage girl. The man, identified as Pedro Kiko Hinojos, Jr., 39, is wanted for enticing a child and harboring a runaway child. Both offenses are misdemeanors under the Texas Penal Code, though if a person charged with enticing a child is shown, in the process of a criminal trial, to have intended to commit a felony against the child, that charge would be elevated to a felony. Hinojos, an Alpine local, was last seen by authorities on Sunday when he was released from jail on a criminal trespass charge, said Brewster County Sheriff Ronnie Dodson. Dodson said Hinojos is believed to have taken off with a 16-year-old girl shortly thereafter, and his office has been searching for him ever since. We don't think his intentions are in the right place, said Dodson, of Hinojos' relationship to the girl. The girl's mother had reported her as a runaway, said Dodson. Since putting out a call for public assistance on Monday, the sheriff's office has received several tips about Hinojos' possible whereabouts, but he hasn't yet been located. Hinojos has been described by the office as standing at 5'8" and weighing 175 pounds, with brown eyes and a shaved head. City Council discusses anticipated hike in natural gas prices, appraisal district budget, open city positions. By Mary Cantrell. M-K-C-A-N-T-R-E-L-L at BigBendSentinel.com. Marfa. City Council met for a regular meeting this week to discuss a forthcoming contract renewal with natural gas provider West Texas Gas, which will likely see a sharp increase for consumers. The Presidio County Appraisal District budget and open positions in the public works and sewer departments. All council members were present, with the exception of Eddie Pallares. Mayor Manny Baiza, City Manager Mandy Roan, and City Attorney Teresa Todd were present. The council meeting opened with discussion of the city's relationship with natural gas provider West Texas Gas, which the city is currently in legal negotiations with regarding a $114,000 natural gas invoice they received this past December that dates back to the February 2021 winter storm. The city's current contract with WTG is set to expire at the end of the month, and negotiations regarding a renewal are ongoing. However, city officials made it clear that prices would increase significantly, possibly even doubling for consumers. Roan outlined the city's most recent contract proposal from WTG, stating rates vary depending on the day the contract is signed. The city's current rate, $3.60 per MMBTU, an energy unit, would increase to $8.43 for a 12-month contract, a 134% increase, $7.38 for a 24-month contract, a 105% increase, or the city's best option, $6.96 for a 36-month contract, a 93% increase. The long and short of it is, chances are the rates are going to be going up for the customers, really, no matter what, said Todd. Todd said there were a lot of overlapping issues with WTG relating to the outstanding $114,000 gas invoice that still needed to be worked out. City administrators are to meet with J.J. King, Vice President of Marketing with WTG, next week, she said. Council members Raul Lara and Jason Ballman expressed concern for how the higher rates would trickle down to the City of Marfa's gas customers and asked whether an average household increase could be calculated. But because the city sets its own utility rates for natural gas and may absorb a portion of the cost, a percent increase would be difficult to determine before the forthcoming budget cycle, said Roan, while acknowledging rates would increase significantly. We can't absorb a 93% increase in the city budget, said Roan. Because WTG owns the natural gas pipelines that service Marfa, even if the city tried to get another provider, WTG would charge them a transportation fee, which would then get passed down to the city. Council decided to table the matter to their next city council meeting at the end of the month. Council next moved into executive session to review updates on the $114,000 WTG bill, but no new action items were announced when they returned, other than for Todd to continue to work with their outside attorneys regarding the matter. Next, J.D. Newsom, executive director of the Big Bend Regional Hospital District, invited council members to a day-long workshop on August 31st in Alpine to discuss a potential regional hospital solution. Newsom said a brain trust of representatives from local governments and EMS personnel is being formed in order to work through challenges and solutions relating to establishing a more centralized EMS system, something that has been on the minds of many following recent EMS challenges in Brewster and Jeff Davis counties. Newsom said the sudden passing of Mike Scudder, who owned and operated Alpine EMS, and the county's subsequent rush to secure an EMS provider revealed how precarious the system was. It was a really devastating loss to our first responder community in the region, but I think it opened our eyes to how fragile some of our emergency service operations are, said Newsom. The Tri-County area has a total of 6 different EMS providers, he said, which were facing similar, repeated operational issues that might be remedied by unifying services. I think it's fair to say that all of our EMS operators have a lot of challenges, whether it be funding new ambulances, recruiting personnel, providing these vital services for our residents in such a large geographic area, that I think it's worthwhile to look at what a different model might look like, said Newsom. Roan said she was planning on attending the workshop along with Mayor Biza and Marfa EMS Director Bert Lagarde. Council then reviewed and ultimately voted against approving the Presidio County Appraisal District's amended budget for 2022, which includes a 5% pay raise for PCAD employees. After much back and forth over whether to approve it, council members were locked in a split tie, which saw council members Ballman and Mark Cash voting to approve the budget, and council member Lara and Mayor Pro Tem Irma Salgado voting not to approve. The mayor then broke the tie with a nay vote. Those against the budget were wary of approving a 5% increase in salary for PCAD employees before their budget cycle, which will determine if and how much city employees' salaries will increase. Last were the mayor, city manager, and police chief reports. Mayor Baeza notified council members the budget planning season was fast approaching, and his goal was to have a drafted budget available for the next city council meeting. Council will meet throughout September to finalize the 2022-23 budget. Roan reminded all the pool would close for the summer on August 12th and said the sewer department as well as the public works department was hiring. Sal Roman recently retired after over 30 years in the public works department. Chief of Police Steve Marquez updated council on the department, stating that Marfa PD, along with many other local law enforcement agencies, were participating in a second active attack training drill at MISD this week. They were also able to fill their final open position, he said, and are welcoming a new officer from the Fort Stockton Police Department. Lastly, their new police fleet vehicles were not yet all complete due to camera technology outfitting delays. Wonder School Marfa holds community open house ahead of inaugural school year. By Mary Cantrell, MKCANTRELL at BigBenSentinel.com. Marfa, Wonder School Marfa, a newly established kindergarten through 8th grade micro school, welcomed the community this week for an open house in their space located on the ground level of the First United Methodist Church on Washington Street. The tuition-funded school will begin its first school year in about a month with 10 students enrolled. As attendees stepped down a short flight of stairs and were greeted at the school's entryway by sounds of children playing and gold-letter balloons spelling out wonder, some ditched their shoes in cubbies and opted to roam barefoot on the bright red carpet. From the entrance nook, a large room opens up where antique fixtures diffuse warm light across white walls and wooden furniture give off a homey ambience. A project to create an origami fox, the school's mascot, was set out on a child-sized table. This was the second public event for the school, the first being a preliminary meeting at the Marfa Public Library, which took place earlier this April. Teachers, or guides, Emily Storiti, Sam Watts, and Crystal Cuevas, who also serves as the school's director, have been hard at work preparing their rented space for the upcoming school year. Cuevas said the school's early info session this spring gave the staff valuable time over the summer to take in parent and community feedback and refine their program. The school hosted a garage sale over the summer, which the community helped support with item donations, and with the addition of a student-run lemonade stand, the school raised around $1,000. The school is still seeking supplies to outfit their computer room, including a table, chairs, Google Chromebooks, and headphones. The school will have, in total, 135 instructional days, with a schedule of 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and Friday field trips once a month. Cuevas said field trips are still in the works, but may include locations like the Judd Foundation, Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute, and the Museum of the Big Bend. Their school year is set to start on September 12th and end on May 25th. The school will meet state homeschooling guidelines for its education requirements and will track attendance. Wonder School is not yet an accredited institution, but might explore that possibility in the future, said Cuevas. Tuition for the Wonder School is $400 per month per child, with a 20% discount for siblings and a $200 registration fee. Cuevas said the school's goal is to eventually become completely tuition-free, and they are working on becoming a nonprofit organization, which will open up more funding opportunities in the future. At Monday night's open house, families already enrolled in the program showed up to hang out and enjoy refreshments, and a handful of new visitors also came through the space. The church ground floor the Wonder School is now occupying once served as a Montessori school years prior. It consists of a main community room outfitted with a piano and numerous Montessori-inspired learning stations centered around practical skills, geography, language learning, and more. Rooms including a kitchen, library/yoga room, bathroom, computer room, and office space stem from the main room. Cuevas said Wonder School wanted to host an open house in order to invite the community to view the new school space and ask questions. They timed the event before the start of Marfa ISD's school start date, August 17th, in case some parents were still weighing their options, she said. While their school might not be the best option for everyone, said Cuevas, Wonder School is able to offer something unique, a hybrid focus on academics, life skills, and spending more time outdoors. When I speak to parents about that, it's focusing on all of the great things that we're able to provide instead of having this strict, regimented routine of subject to subject to lunch to recess, and all of the time in between that maybe gets lost. We are packing our day with full-on learning in a very different way, said Cuevas, whose two children will be attending Wonder School. Parent Stella Fuentes, who enrolled her two children, Amaya, 8, and Roman, 6, in Wonder School for the forthcoming school year, said their family was attracted by the program's emphasis on tactile learning and mindfulness. They also wanted to continue their children's education with Stariti, who her children had previous positive experiences with at MISD in the Montessori program. As of the 2022-23 school year, MISD no longer offers any Montessori courses. We're really excited about this opportunity for Marfa, said Fuentes. Emily and Sam both do this for the love of the children. They really do. You can see it. They would do this for free. And that's what we want for our kids, to feel that energy and that passion they have in the philosophy that they carry. Sariti previously founded the independent nonprofit Marfa Montessori, which operated for a few years before being incorporated into MISD in 2013. Looking ahead to the coming school year, she anticipates being challenged by educating a large age range of students and stepping outside of the strictly Montessori mindset. She said she was expecting more people to reach out to her who were curious about the Wonder School, but so far she hadn't heard from anyone. However, she said she is excited for the start of the year and hopes the school is successful. Cuevas said the school is still hoping to attract a few more pupils, but regardless of enrollment numbers, she and her team are proud to be offering an alternative to traditional public school for local families looking for different educational routes. What matters is that those few families that want this are able to have it because we have a space and we have amazing guides that are putting their heart and soul into it, despite the fact that we're so new, said Cuevas. We are on a shoestring budget. There's very little right now, but we're willing to work. We're willing to do the hard work necessary to fundraise and to put our name out there and to establish ourselves as a school just to offer that option. It's just a personal choice that parents have to make in this community. I'm just glad that there are options and that there isn't just one singular route to take, added Fuentes. Due to the coronavirus pandemic and families homeschooling their children in the wake of repeated school closures, many, including Cuevas and some of her fellow Wonder School Marfa families, came out of the experience rethinking the role and format of a formal education, she said. One of the silver linings of the pandemic is that we've been given permission, confidence, and ways to take an alternate route and kind of see where that leads us, said Cuevas. The school's daily schedule will consist of online learning in the morning for the two older children, ages 10 and 12, and hands-on project-based learning for the younger students, ages 5 through 9. The afternoon will consist of various enrichment activities, including library time, art and music making, lunch and playtime outdoors, cooking, Spanish language learning, and more. There's also a plan in place for the two older students to accompany a Wonder School parent on their weekly Meals on Wheels delivery route. What is beautiful about this alternative program is that we can change things if we see there's a need for change. We can be flexible. We can see what the kids are interested in, then follow that, said Cuevas. The online learning platform the school was previously considering utilizing, Prenda, is no longer a part of the school's programming. Instead, the school staff has opted for a combination of programs they deemed equivalent, including Khan Academy, IXL Learning, and Spanish in Nature. The Wonder School will seek to foster an environment with parent involvement, asking each family to donate 20 hours of time annually to a school-related fundraiser, project, or classroom time. All parents are invited to chaperone and attend field trip Fridays. Cuevas said she already has projects in mind that would be aided by parent and community assistance. The playground in the back, it's basically all dirt, one tree, very little shade, and zero place to sit down. We would love to make that into a fun Saturday project and invite not only parents but community members to give their time and maybe their skills or supplies to establish a more beautiful play space for the kids outside, said Cuevas. Wonder School will continue to get the word out about their establishment, said Cuevas, and we'll have a children's arts and crafts station run by Watts at the Trans-Pecos Music Festival, as well as participate in the Marfa Lights Parade. Cuevas said she has been in conversations with individuals who worked closely with Marfa's defunct International School, which operated from 2013 to 2016 and closed, citing financial issues, who shared advice on how to ensure the school's longevity. But for now, she is taking one day at a time. While the Wonder School is still getting its wings, it will hopefully grow to draw in others, like Marfa families who send their kids to Alpine Montessori School, said Cuevas. But she understands that some may be hesitant to try something new. I want people outside of Marfa that want to move to Marfa but have kids. I want to give those families another option, said Cuevas. There might be some families out there that want to see it just get started the first year or so, and then they'll make their decision. Fuentes said she believes in the staying power of the program, and one of her main goals is to help make Wonder School available to everyone in the community, hopefully offering full scholarships down the road. It's going to attract more folks to come and be part of the community and really embed themselves instead of just being the weekend residents. Come in and bring your kids. There's wonderful opportunities here, said Fuentes. Staff photo by Mary Cantrell. Wonder School Marfa, a new tuition-funded K-8 education program, held an open house this week at their ground floor space at the First United Methodist Church. Border Network for Human Rights shares resources in Presidio, where it plans new office. By Sam Karras. Sam at BigBendSentinel.com. Presidio. Last weekend, El Paso's Border Network for Human Rights, BNHR, hosted an event at the Presidio Farmers Market to help connect locals with information about human rights and immigration issues. The Presidio event was presented in solidarity with marches in El Paso, Far, and Brownsville by a network of activist organizations, including BNHR, Frontera Texas, Proyecto Libertad, and Border Workers United. There wasn't a march in Presidio. Saturday's event was aimed at spreading awareness of BNHR's mission. BNHR is hoping to have more of a presence in the small border city and is currently looking for office space and potential employees. A handful of locals have signed on to attend training through the fall. The actions in El Paso and other border communities, however, were intended to protest Operation Lone Star, Governor Greg Abbott's surge of funding and law enforcement to border communities. For the first time, multiple border cities and counties unite to condemn Governor Abbott's Operation Lone Star, which is responsible for the migrant deaths along the border and the misuse of Texans' money to fund anti-immigrant policies and operations. BNHR's Maynelis Negron wrote in a press release. Though Presidio County has been receiving Operation Lone Star money for over a year, the debate over immigration policies has become more heated recently as County Judge Cinderella Guevara issued a declaration of invasion by undocumented migrants. Commissioner Brenda Bentley raised concerns about the use of that rhetoric at the last Presidio County Commissioners Court meeting. At the meeting, Bentley reported that many constituents had written in to her decrying the use of the word invasion. It's the kind of language that incited what happened in El Paso, she said, referring to the 2019 mass shooting committed by a gunman who believed his actions were combating a perceived Hispanic invasion of Texas. Neither Bentley nor Guevara returned requests for comment. The materials distributed at Saturday's event echoed these concerns. Immigrant advocates at the border will decry these policies and the dangerous spread of invasion rhetoric, which stokes fear and resentment, dehumanizes immigrants, and escalates violence, and will call for establishing humane immigration policies that welcome migrants in an orderly, just, and dignified manner, Negron wrote. One of the BNHR's main outreach goals is helping people understand what their rights are when they interact with local law enforcement. A pamphlet titled Know Your Rights outlines 5 steps when apprehended by an officer. What you say to the police is very important, because what you say can be used against you, the pamphlet cautions. Though you may be required to show license, registration, and insurance in a traffic stop, folks apprehended by the police or Customs and Border Protection are not required to show proof of nationality or immigration status. The pamphlet advises to remain calm and respectful, but refuse to produce immigration documents or to submit to a search without a warrant, even if the officer threatens to enhance charges. You can plead the charge later in court, it says. BNHR is planning to open an office in Presidio and are looking for locals hoping to offer their services. Celia Arzaga, a Presidio resident who has a long history of advocacy work for rural and underserved schools in Ojinaga, is hoping to use her knowledge of both communities to keep neighbors informed about their rights. It's been one of my dreams to be a promoter of human rights, to make them known and put them into practice, she said. Arzaga believes that questions of citizenship and nationality are complex in a place like Presidio, where people are used to crossing the border frequently and having a life split between countries. Her children are citizens. She and her husband are legal residents. A lot of people have commented, "I don't want to renounce my Mexican citizenship," she said. "I tell them that when we come to this country for better opportunities, we are no longer going to think about ourselves, but about our families. Having families with mixed immigration status can provoke anxiety and uncertainty, especially when it comes to interacting with law enforcement. I want to be that voice where I can change their way of thinking," she said. "Whether we're white, brown, short, tall, whatever we may be, we all have the same rights and we can help each other." Photo by Cody Bjornson. Robin Serber Myers stands in what remains of the Serber Aid Feed Store office, a business that was owned and operated by her father, Herb Serber, for nearly four decades before his passing on July 30th at age 84. The store held a final closeout sale last week, in which Herb's customers stopped by to give condolences.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, August the 11th, 2022. Iran Buena Vista Ed Resource Officers. For the first time in their school district's history, Iran Sheffield ISD and Buena Vista ISD will have school resource officers this upcoming school year. The Pecos County Commissioners Court approved the SRO agreement at their regular meeting following unanimous approval by both school district school boards in the previous months. I was at both school board meetings. First one was Buena Vista, and a week later we were at Iran Sheffield. Both boards unanimously voted for it, Schuster said. The school districts who will be provided one SRO each by the Pecos County Sheriff's Office will pay the county $63,000 for 9 months of service during the school year. The county will cover approximately $21,000 for the officers when they return to their patrol duties for 3 months during the summer. Deputy C. Moore will be the school resource officer for the Buena Vista starting August 15th. The sheriff's office is obtaining a deputy to be an SRO at the Iran Sheffield Collegiate Independent School District with the same projected start date. Pecos County Sheriff T.J. Perkins said he was glad to get SRO agreements done for the safety of the staff, teachers, and students. Schuster added that the revenue generated by the school districts for the SROs will compensate for two additional officers that will be employed by the sheriff's office. Recreation Center Project Put on Hold. A new recreation center project for Fort Stockton is being put on hold for the foreseeable future following a discussion that was held at the Intergovernmental Recreational Board meeting in Fort Stockton last month. But renovations and additions to the current recreation center are a possibility in the future. FSISD Superintendent Gabriel Zamora attended the board meeting in July and stated his recommendation to consider putting air conditioning in the current rec gym, along with a facelift to the facility that could feature improvements to appearances on the outside. Briefly mentioned to Judge Schuster and City Manager Frank Rodriguez that maybe it's worth something to consider looking at a smaller renovation project. I've got to take it back to my board, and each entity will have to decide what or if they are willing to contribute. The remedy is a potential solution to the financing dilemma that is at the center of the issue behind the new facility project being halted. In May, registered voters had the opportunity to set the project into motion via the bond proposition E. The final vote tally for Proposition E was 686 against 633 for. While the proposition will not be attempted again in the near future, Rec Board and School Board member Andy Rivera mentioned at last month's meeting that the approach needs to change if the entities decide they want to go to the same route in the future. Strategically, we need to do something different about how we attack that bond, especially on the rec side of it. Whether you get all your coaches together and help parents to come out and vote, I don't know, but I was really shocked that it didn't pass. The failed bond proposition was followed by Pecos County Memorial Hospital's significant bond deficit that came to surface. Schuster stated that July's rec meeting that 2024 will likely be the earliest time period in the county would be willing to revisit a new recreation project shared by the three entities. We're going to have to kick it down the road for now, and the reason is because we've got a hospital that is operating on life support. We could be looking at a height of $4 million budget deficit. That's going to have to come out of the fund balance. In addition, Schuster said the county is putting a $3.5 million Desert Pines Golf Course irrigation project on hold. The Recreation Board unanimously agreed at the end of last month's meeting to request that the school district acquire architectural plans and pricing for renovation additions to the rec center, which would be taken back to each entity for consideration. Former FSISD teacher exemplifies artistic touch in the city. Artist Lori Holman is putting her paintbrushes to work in town with various projects. Formerly an art teacher here in Fort Stockton, Holman is currently teaching art at the Crockett Middle School in Odessa. I used to be the art teacher at Fort Stockton Middle School. I was teaching back in the 2020. Now I'm coming here on the weekends to work on this mural for Joe Hernandez. He wanted silhouettes of Western images with a sky blue background. I'm going to paint the wall all the way down, but it's been so hot that it's been kind of a slow-moving process. The paint really dries as soon as it touches that cinder block. Holman also contributed two paintings and a wall mural outside Amistad Properties. Picking up more projects in and around town, she continued. I'm hoping to do a mural during the upcoming Barrio Fest. There will be a downtown mural for Ross Harper. We're discussing doing this as something for the community to get involved with, but everything is still in talks. The Fort Stockton Community Theater will be hosting Barrio Fest to celebrate Hispanic culture with a four-day event September 15 through 18, and the event will take place in the neighborhood surrounding the community theater on Nelson Street. With Barrio Fest deadlines closing in, Ross Harper stated, the goal is to have it done during Barrio Fest and have it be something interactive. It would be nice to have more artwork downtown, similar to what they have going on in Alpine. This mural will be something that celebrates Hispanic culture. We're still having discussions on the design. Chiming in on the mural's subject matter, Holman says she's collaborating with an artist out of Mexico to develop this particular design concept. I'll be collaborating with another artist out of Guadalajara on this downtown mural. He does amazing murals, and I've worked with him before virtually. He sends me some of his ideas and walks me through the history, and then I paint it. He's trying to get his visa where he can come over here to actually help me paint. It's kind of a fun thing. We started doing this during the pandemic. We've grown to be pretty good friends, and he's an awesome artist. Fort Stockton would be very lucky to have his ideas painted on a wall. Right now, he's working on completing a rough draft for this mural we hope to do during Barrio Fest. When he's finished with the rough draft, I'll show it to Ross, and we can mess with it and make it align with what he thinks will be good for the wall. Miss Fort Stockton is honored. The Fort Stockton City Council and Mayor Chris Alexander paid a special tribute to Miss Fort Stockton, Isabella Sanchez, via proclamation at the group's regular meeting on August 8th. The proclamation, which was read by Alexander at the meeting, stated, Isabella passed academic excellence, extracurricular involvement, and leadership potential have earned her an impressive list of honors. Percussionist of the Fort Stockton Panther Band, Fort Stockton High School cheerleader, historian of the National Honor Society, certified nursing assistant, and recipient of the Josephine Robles Memorial Scholarship. Isabella is an exceptionally dedicated, personable, and accomplished adult that will represent her community with integrity, respect, and grace. Sanchez will attend Texas Tech University this fall, where she will become a physician's assistant specializing in pediatrics. Hodges recognized for generous donation. Darren Hodges and his mother, Vida, were recognized at Monday's City Council meeting for their $1 million donation for the additions and renovations of the Fort Stockton Convention Center patio. The first donation of $500,000 was officially given to the city at the meeting. The Fort Stockton City Council proceeded to approve the naming of the patio as the Hodges Pavilion. City Council then approved the solicitation of requests for proposals for the construction of two restrooms, patio and main hall, at the Fort Stockton Convention Center. Education highlights at Burial Fest 2022. Fort Stockton Community Theater's Burial Fest, a celebration of the Hispanic culture in Fort Stockton, will provide third graders with a morning of educational experiences on Friday, September 16th from 8:30 to 11:30 at the FMH Meeting Hall. The Nelson Street Theater and other learning sites in the theater's neighborhood. The Burial Fest weekend will provide cultural, historical, and educational activities so people will become aware of the then and now of the Hispanic culture and the impact of Hispanic community has made in all facets of economic and social development. J.B. Gallegos and his staff at the historic Comanche Tortilla Factory will show students the process of making tamales. While in the factory, the students will learn how to make corn husk dolls from Carrie Acosta and Juanita Gonzalez. We'll show children quilt blocks depicting family stories so students learn the importance of preserving family histories. Mario Rodriguez will tell his own personal story of serving in the military, and students will see memorabilia from other veterans, learning the pride of service to the country by Hispanics. Hilda Gonzalez will demonstrate the Loteria game, and Nikki Ponce will show students how to make piñatas and explain the history of that iconic party game. Ballet Fort Glorico students, taught by Emma Morales and Omar Guerrero, will perform on the stage of the Nelson Theater. Delia Galindo, Stephen Walker, and Ricky Gonzalez will display dresses, art, and food typically associated with Quinceañeras and Chunk Arts Studio on First Street. The Folklorico dancers and the Quinceañera exhibit will be present throughout the weekend so that students can bring their families to share these experiences. The traditions involved with Dia de los Muertos will be explained by Alida Carrillo so students can learn the differences between the commercialized depiction in Disney's Coco and the realities of families remembering their loved ones who have died. Representatives from the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin will be on hand to pass out bilingual books, emphasizing that learning to read is the key to success in any culture.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, August 4th. Student safety, top concern for MWPISD. The story was written by Jan Cranfill. Monahans Wicket Paiute ISD has implemented new safety protocols and procedures to further protect the students attending school in the MWPISD district. Quote, updated locking mechanisms, cameras, emergency notification, lighting systems, as well as training for student interaction and counseling, are all part of the implemented safety technology, monitoring, and student awareness needed to keep students as safe as possible, Support Services Director Jeff Jones said. Jones and Orlando Orona, head of the school district's police agency, were two of the MWP ISD team members to attend the Texas State School Safety Conference held in San Antonio on June 19th through 23rd. The conference safety and security programs cover K through 12 for schools, law enforcement agencies, or other public institutions concerned in improving safety and security for their facilities. Quote, officials at the State Safety Conference said we, MWP ISD, are more advanced in safety protocol than other school districts by about 3 years. This is mainly due to us having the bond money to purchase the advanced technology and implementing it on all our campuses, Jones said. The new locking mechanisms have been installed on all exterior doors, which will be locked at all times. Also, interior doors throughout the district will remain locked at all times. The exterior doors will be checked daily to ensure proper function and required maintenance. Quote, any malfunctioning door locks will be considered an emergency situation and will be addressed immediately, Jones said. There are 300 cameras installed throughout the district, which will have full function recordings that are preserved for 1 month. Quote, the cameras' recording abilities have helped law enforcement with some of their investigations by tracking and monitoring activities inside and outside of school facilities, he added. MWP ISD, along with thousands of other schools, law enforcement agencies, and public facilities, have placed into practice the standard response protocol now taught in training sessions by the Texas School Safety Center. The I Love You Guys Foundation, created by Ellen and John Michael Keyes, whose daughter Emily was killed in a school hostage situation on September 27, 2006, at Platte Canyon High School. I Love You Guys was the last text message Emily sent to her parents. Her parents have created a training program to standardize emergency situations, working with law enforcement to have clear-cut communications for any given emergency situation. It rationally organizes tactics for response to weather events, fires, accidents, intruders, and other threats to personal safety. The practiced responses are hold, color purple, in your room or area, clear the halls. Secure, color blue, get inside, lock outside doors. Lockdown, color red, locks, lights out of sight. Evacuate, color green, a location may be specified. Shelter, color orange, hazard and safety strategy. Quote, an emergency notification lighting system has been installed above every door in every school in the district. This system will perform blinking color-coded notifications to the students, such as white will blink 1 minute before the tardy bell rings, blinking will increase about every 15 seconds to help prevent tardiness to class. This system will display the appropriate color codes that coincide with the standard response protocol system. This unified system links schools, law enforcement, and first responders together with a clear understanding of the situation being dealt with at the time, Jones said. The school district also has its own policy agency consisting of Arona and Stephen Luna, MWP ISD police officer. Quote, the district officers have jurisdiction anywhere in the MWP ISD school district for any kind of crime committed, as well as issuing tickets for traffic violations, he said. Another safety program in use at MWP ISD campuses is the Texas David's Law, the Stop It program, which addresses bullying and other forms of violence, allows students, with the tap of a button in the Stop It app, to anonymously share incidents and alert school administrators, along with photographs, videos, screenshots, or any other evidence that may be relevant. When reports are filed, school administrators are notified immediately so that they can address the issue and, when necessary, engage law enforcement through an integrated escalation process. Quote, any parent who has a safety question concerning their child is invited to call me at the administration building at 432-943-6711, Jones added. Sandhills State Park closed while road is being seal coated. A project to seal coat Park Road 41, camping pullouts, and parking lots at the Monahans Sandhills State Park began Monday, August 1st. In the interest of safety, Texas Parks and Wildlife has decided to close the park while work is being done. The project is scheduled to take about a month to be completed. In addition to seal coating the paved areas, the project includes replacing signs and striping the road. C.K. Newberry, LLC of Carn City, won the project with a low bid of $233,000. For more information, contact Gene Powell at gene.powell@techstat.gov or call 432-498-4746. Burke's Outlet employee accused of stealing over $3,000. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Burke's Outlet store employee has been charged with theft after being caught on surveillance camera stealing over $3,000 in cash on July 14th. Tayevra Dion Carnegary, age 29, of 908 North Carroll Street, was picked up on a state jail felony warrant for theft of property more than $2,500, less than $30,000, on July 19th. This is Carnegary's second arrest for theft within 3 months. Monahans Police Department received a call from a member of Burke's Outlet's Loss Prevention who reported theft by an employee. The Loss Prevention told authorities, quote, an employee was caught stealing money totaling approximately $3,400. Based on evidence received, a warrant was issued for Carnegary, and he was subsequently booked and taken to Ward County Jail. In April, Dollar General reported a shortage from April 14th to 18th, and after reviewing security cameras in the store, they were able to identify Carnegary as the suspect in stealing almost $2,000 using Green Dot cards. The misdemeanor offense could carry a maximum penalty of not more than 1 year confinement and a fine of $4,000. For the state jail felony, Carnegary is facing anywhere from 180 days to 2 years confinement and or a fine up to $10,000. His bond was set at $5,000. He posted the bond and was released. Carnegary has not been indicted on the April theft charge. I-20 Emergency Landing. The story was written by Brendan Briggs of the Pecos Enterprise. Disaster was averted on Wednesday when an aircraft suffered engine failure, forcing the pilot to make an emergency landing on westbound Interstate 20 around 7 p.m., just east of the U.S. 285 exit. The 1980 model Mooney M20K threw two rods piercing the intake manifold and spraying coolant and oil across the windshield, limiting the pilot's visibility and forcing the emergency maneuver. The pilot was the only person in the plane that can seat up to three passengers and walked away uninjured. Westbound traffic was halted for about an hour while the aircraft was wheeled off of the highway. First responders said the event was a once-in-a-lifetime call and added they were glad there were no injuries. The single-engine aircraft with Federal Aviation Administration N numbers N9384R is registered out of Conroe to High Performance Aviation LLC. According to the manufacturer's website, the plane has a flight range around 900 nautical miles, costs an estimated $230 to run per hour, and has listed maximum speed of 202 miles per hour. A man recently convicted on drug charges is back behind bars after defaulting on probation. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. 6 months after Tony Lynn Slade, age 51, of 2602 and a half West 4th Street, was convicted for possession of methamphetamine in 2019, he is back behind bars for failing to meet the requirements of his probated sentence. On February 16th, a Ward County jury convicted Slade of possession of a controlled substance, penalty group 1, less than 1 gram, a state jail felony. Slade was indicted for the charge on September 26, 2019. 143rd Judicial District Judge Mike Swanson handed down a sentence of 12 months confinement in the State Jail Division of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, probated for 2 years, and a $1,000 fine. Under a probated sentence, the defendant will be sentenced to a set amount of jail or prison time, which will be suspended. The defendant must report to a probation officer for a set amount of time, pay fines and court costs, and comply with all the conditions of probation. Slade was also assessed $393 in court costs, $180 in restitution, and was given credit of 2 days toward his sentence. Slade was arrested on the warrant for a motion to revoke his probation on July 28th. According to court documents, Slade failed to report to his probation officer, is delinquent $510 in fees and fines, and also has not completed any hours toward his community service. At the time of the trial, Slade was offered a plea agreement offered by District Attorney Randall Reynolds, which he refused because he claimed Monahan's police officers did not have jurisdiction in Thorntonville, where the stop occurred. However, MPD does have jurisdiction within a one-mile radius outside the Monahan city limits, which is set by the state of Texas. A jury trial was called, and testimony was provided over a two-day period. After the jury retired to consider the verdict, the jury returned with a guilty verdict.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.